Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for all of you who are still here and enjoying all of this wonderful shiurim and limud Torah with us. It's commendable for all of you who have been here the whole day. Kol hakavod. And for those who are joining us recently, also kol hakavod. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I want to mention that this year has been dedicated by Fred Birnbaum in honor of his wife, Susan, and their daughters, Ricky, Sarah, and Leora. Thank you very much for the dedication. So if I were to ask, go around the room and ask you, what would you say is the most important holiday of the entire year? What would you answer? Pesach. Someone says Pesach. Why Pesach?
Birth of a nation.
Beautiful. Birth of a nation. It's even trying. I might have said that also. Yeah. I like our share, like previous year, Yom Kippur, the day we get close to Hashem again, we correct our mistakes, atonement. Anybody else? Yeah. Why? Ah, come on, you're ruining it. Come on. Nah, I hear you. We'll have to get to why, yeah?
Shavuot.
Why? The Torah. We get the Torah. Okay, anybody else want to share something? Yeah. Purim. Why Purim? Yeah, if it weren't for Purim, there would be no holidays to celebrate. Very fair. So, with the exception of one of your answers, who was kind of cheating, most of us, I would have thought Yom Kippur, Shavuot, we get the Torah, Yom Kippur is a really important day. Pesach is the birth of a nation, and it all starts on Pesach. Most people, I would imagine, would not choose Sukkot. Sukkot is kind of that other holiday, kind of fits in that. It's like after Yom Kippur, we were fasting, so let's have a happy holiday where we eat for a few days. You know, it's a nice time to take a vacation. The sukkah is nice, but is it the most important holiday? Most people would probably say that that is not the case. However, what's interesting is that we find through Tanakh, which we're going to journey through together, that there are certain circumstances where it seems that sukkot is emphasized not only over other holidays, but over all other forms of serving God generally. It seems that in some way, Sukkot is the ultimate expression of our connection with God. And I'd like to investigate why. So we begin with the first source on your sheet, source Aleph, Ezra Perek Gimel. A quick background, this takes place, the Sefer Ezra is taking place with the beginning of Koresh's reign, King Cyrus, who gave the Jews permission originally to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. It signifies the end of the Babylonian exile in the 500 BCs or so. And we read here about how the Jews finally get back to Jerusalem and they get back to their homeland and they're excited to once again serve God appropriately. And let's see how they react. So, Vayigah HaChodesh HaShvi'i Bnei Yisrael Be'arim. And it was the seventh month and the Jews were in their cities. And they gathered together like one person in Jerusalem. Beautiful, the Jews are back in Jerusalem, and they've returned, and they're unified. And Yoshua ben Yotzadak and his brothers, the Kohanim, and Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, his brother. Here we have two forms of leadership. Zerubbabel is from Yehuda. He is sort of the successor of the Davidic line. You have the Kohanim, which is another form of leadership. They are leading the people. Vayibnu and Mizbach Elokei Yisrael. They build the altar. Ma'alot Elav Olo Kakatub B'Torat Moshe Isha Elokim. To bring Olot, elevation offerings, as it is written in the Torah. This is understandable. They go back to Jerusalem. They were missing the temple. They can't rebuild the whole temple, but they can at least rebuild the altar and bring Karbanot, which is relevant to a separate topic of whether or not you can bring sacrifices when the temple is not completely built. But we move on. And they prepared the altar on its base because they were afraid. So the Mefarshim explained that when they got back to Jerusalem, there were many neighboring nations who were not too pleased to see the Jewish people return to their homeland, right? Not much has changed 2,000 years later. People aren't always happy when the Jews come back to Jerusalem. And so they were afraid that if they had built the altar before the entire nation had gathered in Jerusalem, they would have destroyed it. So now that they were all there, they rebuilt it. Vayalu olot l'Hashem olot laboker v'la'arev. They brought elevation offerings in the morning and the evening. Vayasu et chag ha-sukkot kakatzuv olat yom biyom b'mispar k'mishmat tevar yom biyomo. And what did they do? They celebrated the holiday of Sukkot as it is written in the Torah, and they brought elevation offerings each and every day according to the right number. Like, as we know, if you look in the Torah, when it describes Sukkot, there was a certain amount of cows brought every day. It descends from 14 on the first day, I believe, to 8 on the last day. And they brought the appropriate amount of karbanot. Okay, we'll hold here for a second. And after that, they brought all the other karbanot for Rosh Chodesh and for all the other holidays and all the people who donated a karban to God. So, of all the things that are happening here, what are the Jews doing when they get back to Jerusalem? What are they doing? Anyone? What do you say? So they celebrate Sukkot and they bring karbanot. Now, think of this as following for a second. This is the seventh month, right? That's what it says. They got back to Jerusalem the seventh month. What else could have appeared here? What else happens in the seventh month? For those of us who have heard other shirim today, what else happens seventh month? Yes. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Think of other things that the Jews could do when they go back to Jerusalem. We could probably name a lot. There are a lot of things that could be done. Right, this is an opportunity to demonstrate how happy we are that we're back in Jerusalem, and yet what is emphasized? Sukkot. And to add to the question, it says they brought other karbanot during for Chodashim, which means Rosh Chodesh, and for the other Moad Hashem, for the other holidays. So we are acknowledging that there are other things that are going on, but none of them are explicated. The Torah doesn't tell us, and they did it on Pesach, and they brought the carbon Pesach, and they brought the Shtei HaLechem. None of that is mentioned. That's generally referred to. What's specifically referred to is Chag HaSukkot. Simple question, why? Why is that? Why of all the holidays, of all the different mitzvot that should have been performed when the Jews get to return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile for many years, what's emphasized is Sukkot. Bring in karbanot on Chag HaSukkot. Yes? Okay, so we're the first of the Shalosh Regalim. That's fair. It just kind of happened that way. But why, when we mention the other ones, do we sort of generally refer to them? It's all, and then all the other holidays too, they celebrated those. Don't forget about Pesach and Shavuot. Don't worry, they got those too. Why not just say, and then they did Shavuot, and then they did Pesach? Yeah. Right, so of course all the holidays have been described, but here we are, we're not, this is in writings, in Ketuvim, and Ezra's returning, or not Ezra actually, it's not Ezra himself, but Zerubbabel, and in the first Aliyah after the Babylonian exile, they're all returning to Jerusalem, and it's just describing what they did when they got there. So even if they've already been mentioned in the Torah, it still would have been fair to mention the other things that they did. So, yes.
More rituals relevant to them, like involved with Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim for Sukkot than there are other Chagim.
More going on in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, good, good. Is that okay? Important. That's a good point. That's a good point. So maybe it's because there's more going on in the temple on Sukkot. Yeah.
You're happy.
It's a time of happiness. That's important. Although we should be happy on all holidays.
Also,
yes.
Other mitzvahs you'll do with parts of the body.
Right. So these are all great answers. And the thing is, you know, the rabbi at every holiday can get up there and give a drush of why this holiday is the really special, most important holiday, right? Because Pesach is so special because on Pesach, we eat matzah and we celebrate freedom. And you know, Shavuot is so special because on Shavuot, we got the Torah. And Hanukkah is so special because who doesn't love lighting the menorah? And it's a unique connection with God. Tu B'Shvat is really special because we get to celebrate Eretz Yisrael. And we could go on and on. And that's all true. I'm just pointing out, and I think we'll see it again, that the Torah is emphasizing Sukkot here, where it seemingly could have emphasized other holidays and mitzvot as well. Now we'll take one more, yeah. Bat Sheva?
Yeah.
Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Nachon. Correct. Nachon, for sure. Again, that happens to not be mentioned here. It doesn't mention the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. But again, we could all point out specific mitzvot that are great, and they all have their unique facets that are special about them. But they're not all pointed out here. And I'm really pointing out that in Ezra, all we get is Sukkot. If you look at the second source, now we're in Nehemiah. Generally, there is a big debate as to the chronology of Ezra and Nehemiah about which one was first. Here, though, we're later on. This is the second time. This is when Nehemiah has gotten to Yerushalayim. And it's when the Jews have completed the temple. And we find the following. So now I'm going to be fair and say that the Torah does previously talk about Rosh Hashanah in this parak. We're not going to focus on that, but it is important. But let's take a look at what the parak says here. V'yom Hasheni, on the second day, this is the second day of Tishrei. Nesfu Rashei Havot L'Chol Ha'am, all the heads of the fathers, the heads of the households of all the people, Hakohanim, Halevim. El Ezra Sofer. Everybody gathers together to Ezra the scribe, Ezra the Sofer, Lahaskil Devar Torah, to learn about Torah. Vayimatsu Katuv BaTorah, they found that it was written in the Torah. Asher Tziva Hashem B'Yam Moshe, Asher Yishvu B'nei Yisrael BaSukkot B'Chag B'Chodesh HaShavi'i. That God commanded through Moshe that the Jewish people are meant to dwell in Sukkot, in booths, on Sukkot, the holiday, on the seventh month. And they announced in all the cities, Yerushalayim, Lemora, and in Jerusalem to say, Tzu'uhahar, go to the mountain of Haviu, Ali Zayed, Vale Eit Shemen, Vale Hadas, Vale Torim, get olive branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees. Go to the mountain, get all sorts of branches. Parenthetically, what is interesting about this pasuk? What do you recognize about the materials? Ale et shemen, maybe not ale hadas, ale et avot. So some of those materials are often used for the dal minim, right? The lulav and etrog. And here they're using them to build the Beit HaMikdash. So there were those who tried to claim, well, maybe we should have to build the sukkah at the Dal Minim. We don't accept that halachically. And in the Gemara, it makes clear that the hadasim used here were hadasim that were invalid to be used for the Dal Minim. However, they are valid materials to build the sukkah. So they built the sukkot. And the nation went out and they brought these things. And they made sukkot. Ish agago v'chatzrotehem. Each person on the roof, in their courtyards, uvachatzrot beit Elokim, and in the courtyard of God, uverchov shar hamayim, and in the street of the gate of water, uverchov shar Ephraim, all over the city. Vayasu kol hakahal hashavim nashvi sukkot, and it was a party. Everybody that got back from captivity made sukkot. Vayeshvu ba sukkot, and they dwelled in the booths. And then here's the line. Kilo asu mimei Yeshua binun Cain b'nei Yisrael ad ayomahu. They hadn't done this since the times of Yehoshua binun until that day. Like you read that line, and you're like, what? Come again? They didn't do this since the time of Yehoshua binun. I mean, we're talking centuries since Yehoshua binun. I mean, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Tzidkiah, or Chizkiah, so many Jewish kings. They didn't build Sukkot like this. But the Hisimchag de la Mo'od, it was very, very happy. Right? You read this line, it's very troubling. All of the Mefarshim are bothered. What exactly can this possibly mean? And you have different approaches as to explain what does it mean they hadn't celebrated Sukkot like this. Some say what it means is with this fervor, with this amount of happiness and so appropriately, and with the Torah and the celebration. Others say that what it means is they built Sukkot, this is the Malbim's explanation, on public property, and they hadn't done that in years past. And some say that the truth is, if you look in Tanakh, or specifically Nevi'im and Ketuvim, many times the Jewish people were not doing the right thing, and the multitudes were sinning. And maybe what the Pasuk is saying is that generally, people, although there were exceptions obviously, we always had the Yechidim, the uniquely righteous people, but generally the Jews were not celebrating Sukkot appropriately. And now finally they were, and it's very happy. It's a party, a Sukkot party, everybody's rejoicing. Vayikra b'sefer Torah tzelokim yom b'yom, they read the Torah of God every day, min ha-yom ha-rishon ad yom ha-acharon, from the first day until the last day, vayasu chag shevat yamim v'yom ha-shin atzerek ha-mishpat. And they celebrated for 7 days and on the eighth day. So again, a very, in and of itself, certainly a very puzzling excerpt from Jewish history, and we could talk about what exactly it means that they hadn't done it since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and we could talk about generally this time period. But again, so much of an emphasis on the way they celebrated Sukkot, on how happy they were to sit in the Sukkah, and how they were reading the Torah during Sukkot. I mean, we read the Torah every single holiday, don't we? We always do that. Wouldn't they have been really happy to celebrate Pesach or Shavuot? And it does mention Rosh Hashanah, but it does not get as much fanfare as Sukkot does. Not nearly. And this idea, whatever it means, that they hadn't done so since Yehoshua ben Nun, it seems to be telling us that there was a renewal and a rejuvenation of their commitment to God. And why is that expressed in terms of celebrating Sukkot? Again, we went around the room and people said Rosh Yom Kippur is the most important holiday. Pesach, Shavuot. No. Sukkot, that's what they did because they were so happy to get back to Jerusalem. Yeah.
Sukkot represents the booths and the travels in the desert.
Correct.
And they were traveling in Babylon or wherever they were and they came back. So it was like they were in a desert coming back home.
Okay, so that experience resonated with them. It's a fair answer, I like it. It's a good answer. And again, we can focus on all of these in particular. I think there is a general theme here that Sukkot in some way is emphasized. Okay, that is source number two, but we are not done. We go to source number three. And once again, we have the emphasis of Chag HaSukkot. So this is a very difficult vision. We're now in Zechariah. The chronology, Zechariah, I believe, prophesies before Ezra and Nehemiah, but immediately before in that general time period. But here, Zechariah is talking about something that will happen much later. He's describing the ultimate war, the war of Gog and Magog, that will take place at the end of days. It's a very ferocious war, right? There are different ways the Mashiach could come, and if this is the way, as the Gemara says in some places, it's not going to be the easiest time period. So here, God is defending Jerusalem, and he's fighting off all the oppressive nations against Jerusalem. And the Navi says as follows, I'm going to read it in the English because the Hebrew is very difficult. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their sockets. Right? This is not for kids. Not rated G. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one the hand of his neighbor. And his hand shall rise up against the hands of his neighbor. Chaos. Fighting. Violence. A horrific war. And Judah also shall fight against Jerusalem. Judah, the kingdom of Yehuda, Malchut Yehudah, Mefarshim explained that there is going to, the other nations will cause Yehuda and force them and coerce them to fight against Jerusalem. And there will be such a confusion because why is it that Yehuda is fighting against Jerusalem? A horrific war. And the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the donkey. God smites everything. Everyone that fights against Jerusalem gets eradicated. We get all their treasures, all their animals. And of all the beasts that shall be in those camps is the plague. Okay. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go off from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So what's happening here? After Gog and Magog is finished, this horrific, graphically described war in the Navi, they're going to realize that as previously described in Zechariah, they will realize that God, Hashem, is the Melech, Hashem is King, and they will accept Him as their King, and they will go to celebrate. Now, what is the way they celebrate? What are they going to do? There are so many things you could have picked for them to do to celebrate recognizing God as their King. But what do they do when they get to Jerusalem? They celebrate Sukkot. They celebrate Sukkot. And it shall be, continues the Pasuk, that whoso of the families of the earth goes not up onto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. No rain for you if you don't celebrate Sukkot. No rain. Couldn't there, is that the most important thing? That's what you get punished for not celebrating Sukkot. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they shall have no overflow. There shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You will get punished if you don't celebrate Sukkot. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, why always Sukkot? Why are they getting punished for not keeping Sukkot? Now, there is a particular focus in these psukim on rain specifically. And the Gemara does associate the holiday of Sukkot with rain. That's why we say Tefillat HaGeshem, the prayer for rain during Sukkot, is the time where we need rain. And there is some connection there between Sukkot and rain. Some of the Mefarshim say that the war of Gog Magog will take place on Sukkot. That's just when it's going to happen. And it's sort of the anniversary, and therefore, if you don't celebrate the anniversary of the war of Gog Magog, that's when you get punished. But I think we see a theme here that for some reason, Sukkot is emphasized, and the question is why. And so to answer that question, I would like to offer to you another question. And this question comes from the holiday of Sukkot as presented in the Torah itself. We go to source Hay, source number 5, page 29, and page 30. Here we go. So now, this is in Parshat Emor. The Torah has described all of the different holidays. It goes through all of them from beginning to end. And the last holiday described in the Torah is the holiday of Sukkot, says the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, God spoke to Moses saying, Daber b'nei Yisrael l'emor, say to the Jewish people, b'chamisha asar yom l'chorosh hazeh chag, ha-sukot shivat yamin. On the seventh day of the month, you will celebrate Chag of Sukkot 7 days. And if you, the psukim describe bringing karbonot every day, and we go to Pasuk Lamed Zayin, just for a second, in the interest of time. These are the holidays of God, which you shall proclaim a holy day. To bring karbanot to God. Everyone, you have to bring the appropriate sacrifices on that day. Aside from Shabbos, aside from the different presents and donations you make to God, these are the karbanot, these are the holidays. This sounds like the end of our discussion, right? End here, we're done talking about the holidays, let's move on to another topic. But the Torah does not move on to another topic. It goes back into Sukkot. However, on the 15th of the 7th day of the month, when you gather the grain of your land, tachogu et chag Hashem, you shall celebrate the holiday of God, Shivat Yamim, for 7 days. Bayom HaRishon Shabbaton, the first day is a Shabbaton, a Sabbath. Bayom HaShemini Shabbaton, and the 8th day is a Sabbath. Here the Torah is describing taking the four species, the mitzvah of Arba Minim, and you will do that. Usmachten, and you will celebrate l'fnei Hashem Elokechem Shiva Yamim. in front of God for 7 days. You will celebrate it as a holiday to God. You will celebrate it in the seventh month. You will dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. All the Jewish people will live in Sukkot. So that the generations know that I house the Jews in Sukkot. When I took them out of Egypt, I am Hashem, your God. So, isn't it interesting? The Torah is done talking about the holidays. It says it's finished. These are the holidays. These are the sacrifices. But, and then the Torah continues and describes Sukkot and the specific mitzvot on Sukkot. Why does it do that? Why does it do that? Just say it all in one paragraph. Talk about Sukkot, talk about Lulav, talk about Etrog, talk about Sukkah, and then finish. Why stop talking about the holidays, make it look like you're done, and then go back into Sukkot? So the Ramban here picks up on a certain theme, and that is as follows. It would seem to me, based on this Ramban, that the Torah is pointing out that Sukkot is different than other holidays. And what he emphasizes is, if you look at these psukim, it talks again about the holiday, chag. The word chag comes up again and again. And the word simcha, happiness, comes up again and again. And what the Ramban, I think, says here is that while other holidays, there's an idea of being happy with God, that's sort of the side theme. But there's a main theme. So we're happy on Pesach, but the real theme is leaving Egypt. The real theme is the exodus and slavery and redemption, and we're also happy. And on Shavuot, we're happy on Shavuot, but the real theme is Matan Torah, or the Shtei HaLechem, or Bikurim, and we're also happy. But it would seem to me, based on this Ramban, that on Sukkot, it's not just that we're also happy, but the happiness, the relationship, the connection to God is the holiday, and the mitzvot are a reflection of that relationship. And as he explains, if you look there in source 6, when we gather all our grains and we celebrate our production of that year, we celebrate our human endeavor, the effort that we put into everything that we do, we acknowledge that that comes from Hashem, and we acknowledge that everything that we do is in order to cement and further that relationship. The Gra said that on Sukkot we say Vayitza Ach Sameach, really Shmini Atzeret, you should only be happy. Shmini Atzeret, the only mitzvah is the happiness. That sometimes we focus on other things which are also important, it gets away from the main idea. And that main idea is the happiness itself, is that reliance on God to give us rain and the way we celebrate it when He does. So it would seem to me, going back to all these sources, why is it we always mention Sukkot? All these sources talk about going back and getting back with Hashem, going back to Jerusalem, going back to where we were, going back to our roots. And of course, every holiday is important, but Sukkot is that relationship itself. That's what it is. It's about us and God together, celebrating our faith in Him and His faith and reliance on us. And that is, I think, something to keep in mind, that it all comes down to that basic relationship. And I think that's why the Tanakh often emphasizes the holiday of Sukkot. In a few weeks, we should be zocha to merit a wonderful celebration of all the holidays, and especially Sukkot. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.